Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry down here in Washington, D.C., a very interesting place to observe the one-year anniversary of Barack Obama's inauguration. It's warm here in Washington, very, very cold a year ago, but politically it's probably much colder than it was for Barack Obama when he was inaugurated. Miles, good morning up there in New York.
Good morning, John. How are the mood in Washington? Must be rather tense, I think.
Well, the mood all over the country. Let me tell you, I was in the West Wing last night, and there was an ashen, a literally ashen-faced Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi coming over to the West Wing late in the evening as the returns and the exit polls were sort of declaring the worst or suggesting the worst was happening up in Massachusetts. So it was a very, very interesting place to be, a fly on the wall at the White House yesterday.
You were hanging out at the White House, huh? Not bad.
Yeah, I was hanging out at the White House yesterday. It was a good day for it, I have to say. Emily Rooney rejoins us now, host of WGBH's Greater Boston. She's on the line from Boston. Emily, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And we are thrilled to have Kathleen Hall Jamison this morning, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also co-author of Presidents Creating the Presidency. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, John.
So, Kathleen, let me just ask you one quick question here. I want to talk about who Scott Brown is with Emily in a moment. But if Barack Obama hadn't focused so much on, number one, health care, number two, on this 60-vote majority in the Senate that he absolutely needed, and maybe paid a little more attention to Massachusetts, this would not be that big of a story, right, Kathleen?
It's not Barack Obama's job to pay attention to Massachusetts. It's his job to pay attention to the nation. But if he'd focused more or had the perception of focusing more on economy and jobs, more importantly, if those numbers in both were better, this probably would have been a different election regardless of health care.
Well, let's listen to the voice of Scott Brown talking about who does this Senate seat in Massachusetts belong to. He's the Republican senator-elect from Massachusetts speaking last night declaring victory.
I will remember that while the honor is mine, this Senate seat belongs to no one person, no one political party. And as I said before, and you've heard it today, and you'll hear it loud and clear, this is the people's seat.
The people's seat. Emily Rooney, what's he talking about there?
Well, I have to say that rang loud and clear. That line came out of a debate, the final televised debate of about 10, 12 days ago. And it was the line that got picked up and the statement heard around the world. It was clearly a backlash to the Kennedy, the notion that this is a seat that belonged to the Kennedy family, had been in the Kennedy family for 50 years. No one really believed that. And I think the idea that Martha Coakley was some kind of an obvious legacy candidate was nonsense to most people. She wasn't. She ran a lackluster campaign. There was definitely, in my opinion, gender backlash, especially at the end. And Scott Brown ran away with this after the gun went off January 4th, and he ran away with it just in the last 15 days.
So is he suddenly a new star in the GOP in New England, or is he just someone who happened to benefit from something that was kind of a tectonic shift taking place beneath the Earth's crust?
It's kind of funny. A lot of us knew him through his wife, Gail Huff, who's a reporter at the ABC affiliate in Boston. In fact, I hired Gail Huff, so I knew her pretty well. We knew Scott socially, and he came up through the ranks, and he actually won kind of an interesting Senate seat a few years ago, but he was very low-key. Look, all the Republicans in Massachusetts are low-key. There's only a handful of state senators that are Republican, and very few people knew even who he was. And the primary was only December 8th. So he had very little time to get his name out there at all. He's a very attractive candidate. He had a terrific presence during the few debates that there were. And Martha Coakley insisted on including Joseph L. Kennedy, who is the Tea Party / Libertarian candidate. And it kind of marginalized her presence in some of these debates. And Scott ran away with them.
Interesting. Well, with everything that Emily Rooney is saying up there in Boston, Kathleen Hall Jamison, it really does seem that this plays to some sort of character flaw within the Obama administration. How would you possibly take your eye off of this unless you were sort of stuck in the policy weeds of the health care debate?
I think one of the important things to remember is that Brown didn't run as a Republican. He ran as an independent. And that line that you played that said not any political party is important, if he's true to that identity, he's coming to Washington not representing the Republicans who are standing there eagerly waiting for him to vote lockstep against Barack Obama. As Obama looks at this, I think he ought to hope that the campaign that Brown won is going to forecast not the votes that he cast as the state senator, but rather the rhetoric of a campaign that forecasts an independent candidacy in Washington, or independent president in Washington.
Do you think this connects directly to the Democratic reversal in Virginia earlier last year?
I think it does, because the rhetoric of the continuity between the reversal in Virginia, New Jersey, and this is suggesting that each was a referendum on Barack Obama. And to the extent that Brown was campaigning as an independent voice, I think what you see potentially is that this was an argument that Obama has lost independence. We see that certainly in the voting totals. He also lost them in the representative candidate of his party lost them in Virginia and lost them in New Jersey. That's the worrisome sign for Barack Obama. He won them. He won them overwhelmingly in the presidential election. He has to win them back in order to improve his fortunes for not only 2010 but re-election.
Well, that is a fabulous takeaway, Kathleen Hall Jamison, and I can't resist asking the question to Emily Rooney. So does Barack Obama, who called, I believe, Scott Brown last night, does he have a chance in the netherworld, shall we say, to win Scott Brown's vote for health care and make him number 60 as an independent?
No, I think he has very little chance. But keep in mind to what the point that Kathleen Hall Jamison made, Scott Brown was forced to run as an independent. He is a Republican, but forced to run as an independent because he was not embraced by the National Republican Party, who basically said their support was a waste of time and money. They didn't get into this until the last few days. So I suppose by some friendly reaching across the aisle, Barack Obama has as good a chance as any of embracing him in Congress, because the Republicans did not.
And do we know where he stands on the health care?
Yeah, we know where he stands. He says he will not vote for it. He said that he really made the core. He said, I'm going to be the 41st vote against it. He's the 41st senator to vote against it. He has made that clear all along.
And that's why, even though the temperature is in the 40s and 50s down here in Washington, it's a very, very chilly place for the Obama administration this morning. Emily Rooney, thanks as always, host of WGBH's Greater Boston, on the line from Boston. And, of course, Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.